Today we're going to go to the book of Genesis and look at God guarantees you will make it. God guarantees you will make it. The young man Jacob fled from his home. His brother, his twin brother Esau, was plotting to kill him. True, Jacob brought this anger in Esau's heart on himself. But here he was now, Jacob, a young man, fleeing from his home in what we now call Israel toward the east. And things did not look good for Jacob at all. Not only was his brother plotting to kill him, but he left home with almost nothing. His father Isaac was a wealthy man. I don't know why Jacob left with so little, but here he was running for his life with almost nothing as far as material possessions. And then, of course, we see Jacob, and he's all alone out in the countryside. In fact, the Bible says that he came to a certain place and lay down for the evening using a rock for a pillow. I assume he placed a cloth over the rock, but here he is under the stars feeling very, very alone. While he's sleeping, God appeared to Jacob in a dream. You know what God said to Jacob? He said basically, Jacob, I guarantee you are going to make it. Even though things are bad, your brother wants to kill you. You have nothing as far as material wealth. Jacob, I guarantee you're going to make it. Listen to these words of the Lord to Jacob. Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 and 14.
I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring.
God says, Jacob, I'm going to bless you and your offspring. You're going to spread out and possess this land, and I'm going to bless the entire human race through you. What tremendous promises! But how could God say that? How could God say this to this young Jacob who possessed nothing? It seems so outlandish, these promises God gave Jacob. Well, I think Genesis 28:15 is the key to how God could guarantee Jacob's future. I think Genesis 28:15 is the key to how God can guarantee your future, guarantee you that you're going to make it, that you're going to prosper, that you're going to succeed, that things are going to turn out better than you ever expected. The first half of Genesis 28:15, here's what the Lord says.
I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go.
That's God's promise. God's saying, Jacob, you're going to make it because I am with you. So, brother, sister, God is saying to you and to me in the 21st century, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. You see, Jacob's awareness of his problems blinded him to the Lord's presence. He couldn't feel God. He couldn't see God. He was totally unaware that God was there with him. Most humans believe that problems indicate God's disapproval of us. No matter what religion, no matter if you're an atheist, I've even heard atheists blame God for this or that, and at the same time they claim there is no God. The human heart just has a way of thinking that God proves his disapproval of us by allowing bad problems. But that isn't true. I want you to listen to Gideon's words in chapter 6 of Judges, verse number 13. Things were very, very bad for Israel. Look what Gideon said about God.
If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian.
Here, Gideon said, God, where are all the miracles we heard about? Where are you anyway, God? God, you have abandoned us. You see, he believed that promises indicates disapproval. Well, that's the way the human mind works. And so, when Jacob was laying there sleeping in the middle of the countryside, alone, endangered, and basically having forsaken his family, things didn't look good. It looked like God was on the other side of the universe. But God said to Jacob, don't pay attention to the way things look. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Some other sister, bad events in our lives really mean that God is near us. When bad things happen to us, it really indicates that God is near us. Please read Psalm 34, verse number 18.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Now listen to the words. Who is the God of Israel near? Who does he live close to? Listen to the first part of the verse.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted.
He is closest to us when we need him most. Jacob was brokenhearted. So often, life treats you and me badly, and we feel broken in spirit. But the Bible says, when you do not feel God near, he is close to you. Brother, sister, let's don't let the circumstances of life convince us that God has walked off from us. Why don't you memorize Genesis 28:15. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Listen to Psalm 22:24.
For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help.
This verse says that God has not despised our suffering, and I like the phrase, he has not hidden his face from us. So, brother, sister, we want to keep our attention on God, even when bad things are going on around us, even whenever people around us are suffering. Let God be our attention, not the way things are. This is Psalm 51, verse number 17.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
How beautiful. God doesn't despise or disdain us whenever our hearts are broken. He's there with us. Then lastly, Psalm 91, verse 15.
He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
Look at the middle part of the verse. The Lord's promise to you and me, I will be with them in trouble. He doesn't walk off from us. He says he is with us in trouble. So that night, long ago in Israel, God was with Jacob. Even though Jacob didn't feel God and couldn't see God, wasn't even thinking about God. So, brother, sister, bad things really mean God is near us. Don't let bad things fool you. Let life's difficulties motivate you to call on God. Let life's difficulties and disappointments and struggles motivate you to call on God. Don't let your heart blame him or find fault with him. Keep reminding yourself, the first part of Genesis 28:15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Jacob couldn't see God, but God carefully watched over him. That's what it says. That's what it means in Genesis 28:15. Jacob couldn't see God. So, brother, sister, you might not see God right now in your circumstances. You might not feel him in your heart. But God is carefully watching over you. because that's what the Word says. Dee and I read a story about a missionary family who had returned to Chicago after living overseas for several years. They had a son while they were overseas, and he was obviously about 3 or 4 years old when they returned, and Granddad just loved playing with this little one. Well, one day, Granddad and the little grandson were downtown Chicago, and they were walking through this department store and that department store, just having fun. But then the Granddad decided he was going to do a little play. So he started hiding himself from his grandchild. You know, he never took his eyes off of this little boy. But he hid himself among the racks of clothes or around the corner. And to his surprise, the little boy never grew panicky and never acted frightened. After a while, the granddad asked his grandson, "Aren't you afraid when you can't see me?" And the little boy answered, "Granddad, when I can't see you, I always know that you can see me." Brother, sister, that's the way we should approach the Lord during the struggles of life. Now this word watch, Genesis 28:15, "I am with you and will watch over you." Watch means attendance without sleep. That's what God does. He attends to us constantly, whether or not we are aware of Him. Let's read Psalm 121, verse number 3.
"He who watches over you will not slumber."
Isn't that great? He never slumbers, never has to, never fatigues, never needs rest. He always keeps His eyes on us. I love this first statement of Job 36, verse number 7. Here it says,
"He does not take His eyes off the righteous."
What a promise. Put your name in there where the word righteous occurs. He does not take His eyes off of John, Sue, Bill. Put your name in there. That's the word of the Lord. You mean so much to Him. So you see, brother, sister, God guarantees you're going to make it through the tough times of life. You're going to make it through the victorious times of life. Because He declared, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." So let's be confident in the God who guaranteed that Jacob will make it and the God who guarantees that we will make it. Now, let's go to the last part of Genesis 28:15. Another promise to you and me. God guarantees that we will make it because He says, "I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. That is the word of the Lord. God's promises always appear unbelievable. Let's read again the unbelievable, incomprehensible promises God gave to this very destitute, poor young man named Jacob. Genesis 28:13-14.
"I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring."
On and on, God reiterates promise after promise in these two verses. Promises that appear unbelievable. Well, why does God give this kind of promise? I mean, the Bible from beginning to end is filled with promises that are beyond human comprehension. And I asked myself one day, why? Well, you see, His promises are like Himself, immeasurable. God cannot give a promise to us that is human size. It has to be His size. His immeasurable promises proceed from His immeasurable person. His incomprehensible promises proceed from His incomprehensible person. We can know God, but we can't know everything about God, just like when you were a little child. You knew your parents, but you didn't know everything about them. Well, it's that way with us and God. God was aware that His promises could not fit into Jacob's brain. God knows that His promises cannot fit into your brain and mine. So you know what He does? He attaches Himself to us. That's what He did to Jacob. He said, Jacob, here are these wonderful promises. Your descendants are going to possess this land. Your descendants are going to mushroom in number. They're going to possess the earth. And through your descendants, all people on earth are going to be blessed. That's a reference to Jesus. The Lord knew that Jacob could not comprehend His promises. So what God did was this. He attached Himself to Jacob by saying, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you. Now notice those words. I will not leave you until I have done all I promised you. Brother, sister, that's God's word to you. He will not leave you until He has done all He promised you. See? God gives us these tremendous, huge, God-sized promises. Not so we can fulfill them, but so that we can believe Him as He, through His effort, causes His promise to come to pass. God gives promises that only He is capable of fulfilling. Can you imagine? Jacob was unmarried, and yet God spoke of his numerous descendants. Well, God had to go to work. Brother, sister, when God said to you, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you, that's a promise that we can stand on, but we cannot comprehend. Whenever God says to us that we can agree as touching anything done in heaven and it will be done on earth, incomprehensible. Yet we are not dealing with a God who gives us a promise so we can fulfill them, so we can manufacture answers to promises. No, He wants us to relax in Him and believe that He is going to do what He promised. That's what Jacob had to do. It's what we all have to do. Listen to David's words. King David's words. Actually, he wasn't king when he wrote this. Psalm 57, verse number 2. He had been anointed king of Israel, but he wasn't possessing the throne of Israel yet. And here's what he wrote.
I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me.
Notice the last part of the verse. David cried out to God who fulfills His purpose for me. That's the New International Version. God fulfills His purpose, is what David was saying. That was very important to David. You see, although Samuel had poured olive oil on David, and the Holy Spirit had come on David, yet David was running for his life. He was accused of crimes he didn't commit. He was a fugitive from King Saul. David left his home in Jerusalem, left his family, and was living in the deserts, in the forest, in the fields, in the meadows. He was living at this time, when he wrote Psalm 57:2, in a cave. And yet David was not discouraged. He said, God will fulfill His purpose for me. Brother, sister, that's God's promise to you. You can stand on that promise today. Let's read Psalm 138, verse number 8. The first phrase of the verse says,
the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me.
There it is. It's God fulfilling. God is the doer. God is the causator of His promises to you being fulfilled. Brother, sister, keep reminding yourself, God attached himself to you so that he could do his work in you and through you. Listen to these words from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 15. 1 Kings 8:15, and then we're going to read verse 24. We're going to read a portion of each of these verses.
God, who with his own hand hath fulfilled what he promised with his mouth.
Isn't that beautiful? Solomon's words. God fulfilled with his own hand what he spoke with his mouth. In other words, God's hand went to work doing what he had promised David and Solomon. Well, God's hand is at work in your life, in your circumstances, even if you don't see his hand. This is in the 1 Kings 8, verse 24.
With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it.
With his mouth he promised, his hand fulfilled it. So, brother, sister, when you read the Bible and you take a promise and you say, this is my promise and I believe it, then God goes to work, and with his hand, his ability, his might, he will bring to pass fulfillment of your desires and answers to your request. Just refuse to be discouraged and keep every day reminding yourself that God glued himself to you. You are his. He hasn't forgotten your request. He hasn't ignored your prayers. His ear has heard, and his hand is moving in your behalf. One more verse. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6.
Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
God will carry on to completion. So, brother, sister, Jacob believed God's word. Jacob believed the unbelievable word. You see, that's what we have to do. We have to believe God's word without comprehending it. We have to rely on God's promises, even though we cannot explain how the promise will be fulfilled. We want to live by God's promises, not by our explanations. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Just tell your understanding, stop. I have no reason to listen to you. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to figure this thing out. God is working for me. I will not leave you until I have done all I have promised you. The Lord is with us in all the places life takes us. By places, I don't mean simply geographical locations. The Lord is with us in every stage of life. The Lord is with us in every circumstance of life. You see, God's faithfulness carries you along in his will. Let's read one more verse from Genesis 28, verse 16. We haven't read this one today, but listen to what Jacob said.
When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.
Isn't that great? Jacob confessed, he professed, the Lord was in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. So, brother, sister, so often in our lives, we're not aware of God. And yet the Bible says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done all I have promised you. Many years ago, Dolores and I were trying to find God's will for our lives. We had worked for a year on secular jobs. She worked in a bank and I worked in a manufacturing company. But we weren't happy. We knew God wanted us in full-time ministry. So by faith, we quit our jobs because a friend of mine had invited us to Arkansas to some meetings there, and so we quit our jobs to go to Arkansas and perform these services. Well, after the revival was over, there was nothing else to do except look for a church to pastor. In our search, we were in Houston. In fact, it was the first time in my life I had been to Houston. First time in Dolores' life, I think, that she had been to Houston. The city at that time was probably 2 million people. We didn't know a soul in Houston. We were downtown, and here were all these crowded streets and crowded sidewalks. And for some reason, Dee needed to go into a bank. So she went in the bank, and lo and behold, one of the tellers was a young lady who had served as maid of honor in our wedding. Her name was Elaine. Now, here was a city of 2 million people. We didn't know anybody there, and walk into a bank, and there's a good college friend of ours. She and her husband had us over, and we spent a couple of nights with them while we were in the city of Houston. Just God showing us that He truly was with us. He did not leave us, but He fulfilled His promise to us. And sure enough, in a few weeks, we were again in full-time ministry. So my brother and my sister, you have every reason to be encouraged. You have infinite reasons to take heart and feel hopeful about your life, your children's lives, the life of your family. You have reason to be hopeful because of Genesis 28:15. God guarantees you will make it. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done all I promised you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your infinitude that fills heaven and earth. And yet, on the other hand, Jesus, thank you for living in us. And Father, just encourage everyone who hears this message. Father, help them to turn to Genesis 28:15 and make it their scripture. Because truly, you guaranteed that Jacob would make it. But in that same verse, you guaranteed that we will all make it through the good times and the bad times, the difficult times and the easy times of life. We praise you for victory, Jesus. In your name, amen.